Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Cloud Wars Live. This is the podcast where we're digging into the digital revolution and understanding its extraordinary impact on our business lives and certainly our personal lives as well. We have a special episode brought to you today by Nokia Cloud and Network Services, and we're happy to have with us our guest today, Mark Bunn, Senior Vice President for SaaS Business Services at Nokia Cloud Network Services. Mark, welcome. Great to see you.
Oh, thank you, Bob. Thank you for having me on. It's great to see you too.
Hey, Mark, there's just so much going on in the entire enterprise cloud space today. And it seems that businesses from every size, different regions, different industries have really taken to the cloud as a way to be a driver of innovation and acceleration. So could we start off, Mark, tell us a little bit about the difference between the telecom SaaS and the more traditional IT-oriented SaaS?
Well, I appreciate the question. Let me start by giving a little bit of context. I think that'll help with the explanation. In the world of telecom, hopefully it's no surprise, we've seen tremendous change and tremendous growth. If you look at what's happened over the last 5 years, we've seen a marked increase in the amount of traffic going through telecom networks. You know, by some estimates, it's 7 times growth. And then by conservative estimates, we're expecting the growth in the future to be at least 5 times over the next 5 years. Wow. At the same time, what we're seeing is a lot of that traffic being pushed closer to the point of consumption, closer to the point of the devices themselves. And by some estimates, 75% of the data that's processed in the communication network is going to be processed at the communications edge or close to the point of consumption. But also at the same time, I think we find ourselves in a place where the majority of the world's population is either unserved or underserved by modern communications technology, at least half of by some estimates. So it sets us up for a really interesting dynamic. And what has been going on is that the nature of the network itself, the communications network, has been changing. So communications networks are now evolving from what has historically been characterized as connectivity to capabilities. Think about applications, the way that you think about modern applications today that you use even daily. But we need an ecosystem to evolve in order to monetize these new experiences that are starting to come to the forefront on these communications networks. At the same time, based on all of the data that I've already shared with you, we're seeing a change in complexity, a rise in the complexity of the modern communications network. The technology is changing, same way it has in the IT networks, and it's creating more complexity, not less complexity. That requires automation, right? And so we'll talk a little bit about how that factors into the definition that we apply to software as a service. And then finally, I've already mentioned this, we're already seeing the trend for the need for the communications to expand at what I call the edge or close to the point of consumption where the devices are in order for us to be able to process all the data that's you know coming through and being trafficking through the network. And so when we talk about SaaS, we do refer to it at Nokia as telecom SaaS. Mm-hmm. Our formal definition is that it is a service or set of services that deliver business outcome, typically bought as a subscription based on cloud native software, delivered with fully digitalized business experiences, automated services lifecycle, and designed for the carrier grade workload delivery. And in that definition, there's a lot of references to what you often talk about with regard to cloud and software as a service. I don't think your listeners will be surprised when I talk about services that deliver business outcome or change the focus from the technology to what happens as a result. And also, I think the idea of having cloud native software is now very mainstream. The difference being here that we're talking about carrier grade workloads that are designed for the mission critical network. And so when the telecom network, you know, a lot of today's cloud applications, if they were to go down, you know, you're offline for a bit. Yeah. But you know, if your communications network goes down, the grid is down. You know, it is the grid. So there has to be a much higher level of scrutiny and responsibility placed on this style of software as a service that goes beyond the typical norms that we see in IT software as a service.
Well, Mark, thanks for that great overview there. And, you know, the one point that I think really jumped out at me or encapsulated it was there's this move, as you described it on your part, to go from being just sort of a solution based on connectivity to one based on capability. And that seems to be something that, you know, businesses of every sort just need more of that. It's like, okay, we're connected here, but now I need to move faster. I need to innovate. I need to change processes. I need to get more emphasis outside of my enterprise out on customers. So I really like how you put that, connectivity to capability.
Yep.
And Mark, so with that backdrop that you've offered there, and again, I think the pace of change among, you know, your customers and what businesses want and need to do today is just extraordinary. So could you talk about some of the, you know, primary use cases that you've seen surfacing around this notion of telecom SaaS?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll pick up on what you referred to in my explanation about the capabilities, because that's really what the industry is after. What the industry has historically been known to do is to provide that infrastructure layer. And how the telecom industry is working to evolve is to become a true application player. Where it has started, though, Bob, is it really has started in the IT space. So if you go back even as short as 5 to 10 years ago, the telecom industry had not fully embraced cloud technology. Today it has. And in fact, you probably saw an announcement recently of a big telecom provider striking an agreement with a big hyperscale provider. And that trend has been going on for some time, but it had been isolated to the IT space and what the layer I would call the customer experience layer or the concept to care, order to cash layer. But what we have seen in recent years is it's starting to move closer. The software as a service demand is starting to move closer to the network in areas like security, the security applications that we're applying to the modern 5G network, analytics. And with analytics comes AI. We're starting to introduce artificial intelligence into our analytics packages. And we have some examples of that we can talk about. And then just network management, the software-defined control that happens adjacent to the network or is applied into the network. All of those types of applications have already started to move as an extension of IT software as a service to be closer to the network and become what we've been referring to as telecom SaaS. What's particularly interesting, though, is that the networks themselves are starting to move in this direction. We've already seen a big shift to private networking in the enterprise space, and Nokia has some very robust capabilities there that we offer as a service. And then the core network itself, we recently launched a core network trial offering, offered completely software as a service. And we've seen some immediate uptakes, some really interesting developments from customers. In fact, Telia just announced, I think it was yesterday, with a press release about what they're doing with our core software as a service business. And that's in some ways, Bob, not surprising because it was inevitable, but I am surprised at just how interesting and even aggressive these companies, this telecom or network companies are being in adopting software as a service. And I'm expecting to see the growth really to continue from there. A couple of different demand points that we see, one being that companies are using the software for their own benefit. They see the value in the software for their own operations and to provide their services to their customers. The second vector being the one that helps them to monetize. So we do have applications we refer to as network as code, but essentially it is an API layer that it opens up the network, which has been traditionally closed, for our customers to build applications or developing companies to build applications that would then cater to enterprises.
Mark, again, it sounds like something where, you can't get too comfortable in this one. Sounds like things are changing constantly, the technological innovation, but also in some ways, like you're saying, the deployment innovations are coming fast and furious. So, you know, you mentioned a couple minutes ago, one of the big hyperscalers, but if we could talk broadly about cloud service providers, what are they looking for here with telecom SaaS, and how does that match up with or not match up with what enterprise users are looking for?
Yeah. So the cloud service providers, the ones that we typically think about, the ones that you often talk about in your blogs, et cetera, they're our partners primarily. Now there is a bidirectional relationship that we keep with all of them, but principally for delivery of software as a service, they are our partners, and that's an important comment, because one of the advantages that our customers, which are principally the telecom service providers, think of AT&T and Vodafone's of the world, those folks have been looking for ways to be more agile, to expedite the way that they typically do business or normally do business, as well as to expedite the ability to get into new lines of business. And the cloud has been a great vehicle for them. That's why you see these relationships formed over the last 10 years with the cloud service providers, between the network providers and the cloud service providers. But beyond that, with software as a service, we can bring additional value on top of the value that the hyperscalers or the cloud service providers already bring. When we offer software as a service, as one would expect, if you're familiar with the business model, the operational capabilities are provided by Nokia, right? So we invent the software, we manage the software. That's only right. We're the experts at the software, and we do that as efficiently as anyone could, because we're the ones who really understand the software. But that frees up our customers to invest in other things, like creating new lines of business, and eliminates a lot of work and, after hours work schedules, operational scheduling they'd have to do. Also the agility, I've already mentioned it. With software as a service, we are seeing a rapid reduction in the amount of time it takes to actually get to get to value. We refer to that as time to value, and we have decreased that time remarkably for our customers to get to value. In some estimates, depending on the use case, the deployments go from what are typically measured in months to now measured in minutes to hours. Right, so the agility has improved quite a bit, and that allows obviously for greater efficiency for our customers, which helps with their economics, but it also helps them to also experiment much more quickly. We talk about failing fast, but certainly we don't have crystal balls. And so it's important for us to be able to experiment very quickly with new lines of business. And if things don't work out, or they don't work out in the geography, to move on quickly to another alternative. And that's exactly what software as a service enables our customers to do.
Yeah. You know, Mark, as you described that, it's interesting. There's very much a parallel trend taking place in the IT cloud side of things, which is, as you described it here, everybody, of course, you want to get every bit of efficiency and productivity out of things you can, but you've also got to now be able to turn that now into an engine potentially of growth. You know, how do we shorten time cycles in our operations and so forth? It just sounds like every business knows it needs to do, because the customer demands and requirements are changing so quickly on the other side. So, Mark, all of these points you've brought up sound very compelling technologically, from how it helps processes and speed and agility. Yet there's still, it sounds like in the telecom SaaS world, some hesitancy among customers to make the leap. What are those obstacles, Mark, right now? And how is Nokia helping your customers overcome those?
Yeah, that's a fantastic question. And I'm a naturally curious, and also I'm naturally skeptical, Bob. So I understand when I present, a topic like this, when my customers come back and say, yeah, but.
Yeah.
And they have some legitimate concerns. And so they typically fall into a few categories. One being maybe the most obvious, security.
Yeah.
How secure is your software as a service? Yeah, we've even been criticized in the cloud for being less secure. I think you know very well what steps that the cloud service providers take in order to secure their offerings. And then we layer on top of that.
Yeah.
And so when I'm asked about security, my response is typically, look, first of all, the clouds that we're leveraging, these are world-class customers, right? And they take security very seriously. You could, and they also are very transparent. You can see what they do online.
Yeah.
In addition, we take a defense in depth strategy, and we layer on top of that network. Our applications go through some stringent security reviews, and then we add in a privacy management on top of that. That's already well defined and obviously premeditated. Networking capabilities to provide firewalling, et cetera. But the point is, we have multiple layers of security. And then to add the additional confidence, we go through the accreditations that are necessary for our customers to see that we have independent analysis. You're not just taking my word for it. We also have some, highly accredited agencies looking at it and saying, yes, you are compliant with ISO standards, for example. So that's one. Security is a big one. Economics comes up from time to time. This is typically a shift, represents a shift from a CapEx to an OpEx model. And for some companies, that's a good thing. In our industry, it's been dominated, especially when we're talking about communications networks that are, sometimes they're best described as hardware centric and connectivity centric. CapEx has been the standard way by which deals are made and by which hardware software is purchased. And now we're saying to the community, look, it's okay, or it may be even more beneficial for you to move to an OpEx model. And there are some studies that demonstrate that over time that the OpEx model, SaaS model in particular, is more advantageous, results in lower TCO than a perpetual model. But as the cloud service providers have had to do, we also have some options to capitalize as well if that's what the customer needs. Those are two. Another one, a key one, is the control, the question of this transfer of control, because our industry is very familiar with having large operational teams that manage both the hardware and the software. And what we're saying with software as a service is now let Nokia, the experts of the software, manage it on your behalf. And that sometimes is met with resistance. And what I would say in response to that is, look, it's really important for us at this stage of this phase of our industry evolution to change the point of control from the technical to the business, right? We need to get a more of a business focus, and we need to be able to produce applications. We, Nokia, need to be able to allow our customers to produce applications or create ecosystems that can produce applications that create more value coming out of the network. And so I really characterize the control on the positive side. It's about it being more flexible and actually elevating our value, as opposed to getting stuck in this mindset that our sole value is managing networks. So those are the key ones.
Yeah, yeah. So Mark, if I go back, just touch on a couple of things. We talked about the connectivity to capability here. You talked about this need for it to be seen as no less important, but not strictly a technical decision here, but it's got to be a business decision. Keep all the technical benefits, great, but also add in some of these new business opportunities you've just described. So with that sort of as a little bit of context here, plus your own description of yourself as curious and skeptical. So perfect what we want to see in somebody, a fortune teller. So Mark, what do you see over the next couple of years in the telecom SaaS market, and what role is Nokia going to play within that?
Okay. Well, first of all, just some historical context for your listeners. Nokia has a strong position already in the telecom domain. It's one of the key suppliers. I know that from our history, many may know us as a mobile phone supplier and manufacturer, but that's not a business that we're in anymore. Frankly, you know, where we are today is best described as connectivity provider, right? But in that, we have many different lines of business. We are an end-to-end connectivity provider. We provide the radio network, we provide the transport network, we provide the core network. And then if you look at what's been going on with the networks, they have been evolving to a really disaggregated state where the hardware is separated from software. So in all of those lines of business, we're building software. The software is where the intelligence lies. And once this disaggregation started, that created new opportunities for us to be able to offer software as a service in the classic sense, right? Mm-hmm. These are not monoliths, these are cloud native software, et cetera. I expect that progression to continue in the future, and I expect Nokia to lead. What I do, if you ask me what I think is going to happen in this next year, I think the software as a service itself is going to increase in its demand. We're going to see a higher demand for it coming this year. That's what we've seen progressively since I started a couple of years ago. And then new trend, maybe too early to call it a trend, but new trend I've seen, I've already kind of mentioned, and that's the core network itself. And so we recently launched a combination of the core network with this network as code platform, which is an API platform that enables our customers to tap into the value of the core network. And we're starting to see that demand increase pretty rapidly with a couple of customers already, and they've been announcing publicly what their plans are. I expect to see, I'll call it the rise of the core software as a service, but I expect to see that as a trend in 2024, one to keep our eye on.
Mark, just one follow-up on that point there about the rise of the core. If I have this right, it has been possible in the past for customers to build software on top of that. And this next step you're making is it's not just possible, we're going to help make that easier to do.
Yes, sort of. The core network itself has really historically been a closed box, a black box. You know, it's one that is used to process the telecommunication signals, right? What we're doing now, and it was a trend that started with the definition of what's called the 3GPP 5G standards. There is a new software-oriented function that is intended to open up that core network so that analytics can be pulled out, data can be pulled out and used in ways that maybe, very innovative ways, some of which are still to be discovered, Bob. That's the trend, at least that's been the strong interest of the operators for some time. So it's no surprise that the definition made it into the specification that we all adhere to. But what's changing now is that there are platforms being developed to enable our customers to actually use it, to tap into this data that's resident in the network, and then to, presumably, if we're successful, monetize it in ways that we may not have even thought of yet.
Gotcha. All right. Thanks for that additional perspective there, Mark. So Mark, it's been a great conversation about this, what Nokia Cloud is doing in this sort of dynamic telecom SaaS place. Before we wrap up, any final thoughts you want to be sure to share?
I really appreciate the time. I think one other area to keep our eye on is ESG, just because ESG now is a common vision for all companies. And we also believe that the cloud, as well as software as a service, has helped support the ESG initiatives within Nokia, but also is going to continue to evolve to improve the ESG capabilities of our customers. It simply removes points of friction to automation, Improves availability, improves speed of innovation, improves security. So on many elements, I think this is an area we should also continue to pay attention to, because ESG is going to become, or continue to become, increasingly important to our customers.
Okay. Well, folks, I hope you've enjoyed this conversation here with Mark Bunn, Senior Vice President of SaaS Business Operations for Nokia Cloud and Network Services. Mark, thanks so much for taking the time today to share some insights on a very dynamic part of the market here in telecom SaaS and what Nokia Cloud is doing with that.
Well, thank you so much, Bob.
All right. Good to see you. Folks, thanks for being with us. We'll see you next time.